Okay, let's get started. Thanks everyone for coming. Before actually I move to the next slide and the one after that covers the agenda, let me warn. It is a little different than what you have in the booklets, but don't worry. We will talk about OData, Lightswitch, and BI. It's just that we have added some new content which we were unsure when we were originally submitting the talk in terms of the timing when the announcement we can make. So hi, I'm Asad Khan. I'm the lead program manager for the OData product group, and later on, Brent Gross from IBM will join me later on the stage. So today we have a lot of stuff to cover. So I will spend a few minutes on introducing OData, but depending how much you people already know, I can make it really, really short so we can jump into the demos and cover about the new stuff. So can we have the show of hands, people who already know about OData, have read a bit about it? Okay, nice. So what I will do is that I will spend around like 3 to 4 minutes, and after that, the demos itself will help you learn a bunch. Okay, so just to set up the context, as a developer, we always like to make powerful applications which run off the data which is available on the web. Because the websites which are available in HTML, sometimes they don't give you the structured data which a developer requires to build mashups or interesting applications. So recently we have seen a lot of interest in the RESTful web services, and the reason being is that traditionally there is a way where you build your websites which talk to a server. And that's it. That's the only way you connect to your service, you get the data, you run your application. But over time, so many different interesting clients have come along that it makes a lot of sense where people not only expose or build their own application, but they expose the entire data and let other developers build interesting applications on top of that. I took these numbers from a recent article, and this article itself was a year old, but it is still interesting to see that like 32 million users visit the Twitter site, but the number of web API calls which are made against their service is around 13 billion per day. Same is the case like with Netflix, where there are 10 billion calls made per month. And it was interesting to see that all these three are from a very different sort of category of companies. In the first one, Twitter is the likes where the data itself is their business, whether it is Facebook, Twitter, or like companies like which makes CRM application, SAP, or Dynamics. For them, it makes a lot of sense where they expose the data. And Netflix is a different category where the data is not their business. Their business is streaming videos and maybe renting DVDs, but even in that case, it makes sense for them to expose the data because that brings more customers to their core business. Similarly, NPR is a different category where people are using web services so that people can access the data as they like rather than restricted by the constraints of an application which they built. So again, web service is not new. It has been around since like SOAP and WSDL and all those technologies are defined. In the very short way, if you have to define RESTful services, you can say that RESTful took the concept that every resource can be defined by a URI, and they call it like you can call it as a noun. And then and verb is like the HTTP action, which is like whether it is get, put, post, and delete. And these two techniques, you can say, makes it very, very simple of how you expose your data and then let people interact with it in a way which is not only read only, but you can do updates and all sort of operations. And that is the basis of OData. So one of the reasons for the popularity of the OData is that OData did not invent anything new. All it did was that it defined some uniformity around the principles which are defined in the RESTful services. And if you have to summarize, these are the three core things which define what OData is. And I will quickly go through each one. So the first one is the way you define the data on the wire. And so again, there is nothing which OData invented over here, but what we did was that there is already a standard where people use either Atom or JSON to exchange the data. What OData did was that it defined a certain uniformity of data structure when you send that data over the wire. And what it lets the other side of the consumer is that they expect the way the properties will be defined, the way the relationship will be defined, and in that way you create a natural ecosystem where both sides can exchange data without knowing anything in advance. The second one is that how you ask questions. So RESTful way is that every resource is defined by a URI, but sometimes just getting to that particular resource is not enough. You have to go and define some sort of query mechanism or in order to ask for what is the related items or like write some like define a query where you can define some constraints and get the result based on that. And what OData did was that it defined that uniform way of how you ask those questions. And the third one is that it uses the verbs which are defined in HTTP, which is like you can do a get to get to a resource, or you can, if you want to add a new resource, you can say post, or if you have to update, you say put or patch. And it just uses the same verbs, and all three sort of makes what OData is. So in general, like if you look as a whole thing, it is simple, but it defines some uniformity which lets build this graph of data on the web. So I will just spend 1 minute on actually showing you this. So what I will do is that I will go to this OData site, and if you go to ecosystem, under that there is a sample service. So I will run it from here, so if people want to play around, they can do it, and I will do a browse on this one, which is a read-only data. One thing is that if you see a different way, if you're using IE, and if it is rendering in a different way, it's because by default, the RSS reading view is enabled. So you can go to, options, and under the content, you go to settings, and then you can say, you uncheck where it says turn off feed reading view. And now what you are seeing is the service document in the Atom format. So now if you want to go and see, so this talks about the top level entity sets. So I have information about products, category, and suppliers. If I want to know about the products, I can go in here, and this will give me all the product sets. And of course, we are looking at the wire format, so it is not very friendly for reading. And the second one is that you can also say that I want the format as JSON. So if you say, this is Atom, which is the default one, and you can say JSON. And IE doesn't parse it, and it gives you an option to open the file. So you can open it in Notepad. And this shows you the JSON format, which goes over the wire. So this covers the first tile in that pie, which I was talking about, that it defines a uniform structure for defining both in Atom and JSON. The second one is how you ask for certain resources. And so if you can say products, and if you want to look at the first product, as you see, I have already tried it to make sure it works. So now I'm looking at the first product, and from the data, you could already see that how it is defined over here, that this is the URI. Plus the base URI of how you get to this product. Similarly, if you want to go and further drill down, you can say, let's say, price, and then it's you the price, or you can say dollar value, and then it will give you the raw value for that. And similarly, if you want to, let's go back to the products, and then you can write filters. This is like, for example, when you can say price equal to 3.5, so it will give you the product which has that price, and you can see it from here. So, and similarly, as you could see from this autocomplete, that you can write more interesting ones where you are giving multiple filters where the price is greater than 3.5 and less than 20. So this is just like, I will not go through all the operations. You can go and see it in the OData protocol document, but this defines how we have defined this uniform way of how you can go and query for the data. Now the interesting thing is that if you go back and go somewhere to another OData endpoint, let's say odata.netflix.com, again, you will exactly see the same structure, whether it is the service document or you drill down under any of these entity sets, because they also follow the OData spec. And now all I have to know is that they follow OData, and now I can ask the questions or browse through the data in exactly the same way. For example, if I go to titles, I can say top 100, because otherwise 170,000 will come. So now it will show you the top 100, and similarly now you can use the same thing where you say that I want to look at the still loading. So basically now you can go and say, let's pick up some, you can say name equal to, let's see if this. So you can add a filter over here. You can say titles dollar filter equal name. And now you get to this that exact movie which you are looking for. So the point being is that now with that uniform way of accessing the data, it helps when you are going against different endpoints. So the third piece of the puzzle, let me go back, talks about how we can use the verbs, which is get, post, or patch, or merge. I will show that as we do some demos, because this is a read-only service, both of them, so I can't do a post and update the data over there. So within Microsoft, there are a lot of products I'm sure you have seen who are using OData. This is just a summary of some are there for last few years. Some are new, and I'll demo some of them right here. The one which are on the left side of the dotted line are the publishers. So they are the products which publish the data as OData. And the one which are on the right side of the dotted lines are the ones which are the consumers. So they can consume any OData service. And some of them, you will see that they are on the both sides of the dotted line. It's because they are both a publisher, so they publish their data as OData, but they can also go and connect to any other OData endpoint and consume from there. So let me jump to the first one, which is the light switch. I will connect to a different machine. So this machine is running the latest Visual Studio 2012 RC. And I think the last session or the one before that was about a light switch. So I'm sure some of you might already know. But for those who for whom it is new, light switch is a platform or a tool to build line of business application which are very data heavy. So if you want to build a line of business application and so it is really like you don't have to write any code. You can connect to multiple data sources, and then it goes and reads the data and figures out the metadata and generates the right UI for you. And of course, you can go and optimize it to any level you like. So let's start and build one line of business application quickly. So I will say file, a new project. And in the templates, you will see that there is a light switch, and then you can choose VB or C sharp. I will pick C sharp. And then I say, OK. And when it starts, it will ask me that, do I already have a data set for which I want to build the line of business application? Or is there something where I want to, or is it something which I want to define right now? So in this case, it is a little small, but I will say attached to an external data source. So I will say, so this is the point where this product becomes like a consumer of OData, because out of the choices, you will see that the third one is that you can connect to any OData service. So let's pick this one, and we say next. So now it needs the URI of the OData service. So what we will do is that there is already OData endpoint for this TechEd conference, and I just bookmarked that, which you can also go and search under TechEd and then under content under OData. And if you click that, all the information which is about this TechEd is available as OData. So if someone wants to build their own applications, they can build that. So let's do that. So I will pick this URI, go back and paste it here. Oops. And there is no authentication needed for this one, so I say next. At this point, it will go and it will go and read the metadata from that OData service, and then it gives you all the top level entity sets. So let's say we pick like levels and sessions and say finish. So at this point, LightSwitch knows how to go and get the full detailed metadata about the service. So you will see a couple of things. One is that it brought the names of the properties, their types, and same for the sessions, the session. And the other thing is that it also figured out that there is a relationship defined between the two. And now I will just make one change because the summary type over here is ID. Let's change it to title, which is much more readable. At this point, if I hit F5, once this comes up, you will see that my app is already up and running and ready to be deployed. I forgot one thing. At this point, I have built the service, but I have to do one more important thing, which is add a UI part. Sorry about that. So I add a screen, and this will give you a couple of options in terms of which types of UI what you want to build. And let's say if I say list and detail screen, it asks me where do you want to bind to. So it will automatically populate based on the data which I have imported. We can pick any, let's say, levels, but still include sessions, and then say OK. So now I can hit F5. You can learn more about the LightSwitch, but this on the left side, it shows you the object model for the data, and the right side is the UI, which is in the form of a text, where you can focus less on the pixels and the design, but more around like which type of controls you want. So now let's hit F5, and hopefully now the app will, the UI, the right UI will come up. And at this point, it is working on top of the OData service, which is published for this tech ed. And you will see that it created the levels, it created the relationship with the tracks. So from here, you can easily see, like, if you are only interested in level 300, what are the talks which are available. It does the paging automatically. It knows how to refresh it. If TechEd doesn't allow, otherwise we could have fixed the title before. Otherwise, if it allows updates, I can just change it right here and say and hit save, and it will go and update that title or that ID. And again, all of this is because OData uses this uniform way. So any product who wants to build the consuming side on top of OData, they exactly know what is the operation they want to send over the wire, which will change the data set. So let's do a couple of things around this. So one thing which we can do over here is that you can go to the properties, and you can change the application type to the web. So we will not publish for now. And then you can hit F5, and now your website is ready. So if I have the right credentials for the Azure account, I can go and publish this right now, where people can go and actually access this this application, which shows you the levels and the relationship for the sessions. And so this is right now it is running on the local host. So this part shows you how LightSwitch is a consumer of OData, but it doesn't show how it is a publisher of OData. So in order to do that, let me do one thing. What I will do is that I will go to the add source and add two type of data sources. One is a table which says that I don't have a data source. I want to locally create a data source. So I say, let's call it like a lookup table, and add a property called name, which is string, and let's say contacts or something. And that's it. And let's call it like my data. The other one which I will add is which is coming, sorry, not this one. What I will do is add a data source. And this time I will connect to my Azure account. So I will connect to my SQL Azure account, and I will pull the data which I uploaded beforehand, and that is the nutrient data which I downloaded from their public website from the USDA, and it lists the like 7,600 items and about their calories and anything you care about, and we will go and connect to that one. So I'll pick database, and I have a shortcut for the name because, as you know, Azure always choose very friendly names, which are hard to remember. So this is the server name. I have my username password. And hopefully now it will populate the tables. So this is the nutrient data. And I can say OK. And now this is now connecting to my SQL database, SQL Azure database. And of course, the protocol which they use is TDS. So LightSwitch knows how to connect to a database over TDS. It will go and it will read the metadata for that one and make it available for me. There is only one under this. You hit finish. Now, the interesting part which I want to show you is that, let me rename this one to data, nutrient data. So now you will notice that I have this one, which I connected to the OData service endpoint for the TechEd. Then I have nutrient data, which is coming, which is a connection to my SQL Azure. And then this is my data, which is a local one. So now if I hit F5 again, so once it comes up, the interesting thing is that in this case, as I said, it is connecting to my local host. But irrespective of what is your base URI, if you take that base URI, go to a new browser, and then add the data, the name of the data which you created, let's say my data, which is, this is the table which I created, add SVC, and hit enter. Now it, every data source which I add in LightSwitch, it automatically converts it into OData feed, whether it was OData or not, whether I locally created it, whether I made a connection to other database or anything. But it has the capability where it can automatically convert anything into OData. So let's check the nutrient data because this one has no data in there. So I named it nutrientdata.svc, and these are the food items. And if I say food items, it will actually go and download the 7,000 items over here. It will take a while. So you can also use some other tool. So let's in Excel through Power Pivot, you can connect to any OData service. So what we can do is that now we can go and open Power Pivot. And hit the same one. Let me just copy the URI from there. And if I say next, as long as if I have typed it correctly, it will go to and connect to that OData endpoint, which is published through LightSwitch, which was originally coming from my database, Azure database. But now because it has been converted into OData, now you can use any client which supports OData. So while it is downloading the 7,000 items, I can also open Tableau, which is another non-Microsoft product, which lets you play with data and analyze data in a very different and different way. They also have a support for OData, so you can also go and say connect to data, and as you can see on the left, it allows you connecting data in a different way, so it supports OData. So you go here and you type in the same root and then say nutrient data.svc slash food items, and it doesn't need authentication. So you can say connect, and then you say OK. So let's go back to Excel. So Excel has downloaded 7,637 rows. You can close this, and this is now the, all of the data which was able, you were able to get in Excel, because LightSwitch gave you the this feature where you can convert any data source into OData. So now you can say, let's say this is not the ideal way to analyze. So you can say pivot chart. And I'm not the expert with this product, but let's say we can say a short description, and we drop it here, and we say let's say energy calories, and then it will draw you the chart. You can say proteins, and it will overlay on top of this one, and now you can make it a little bigger. And now you can look at this, who is this outlier. So this is some palm kernel, some fat, and of course this will have the maximum calories. So similarly, if you go to the Tableau, like now it has imported the same 7,000 items, and now you can just do drag and drop. So you can say, I want to pick the short description. And let's say this time you want to see the cholesterol and saturated fat. And now you click on this one. It should draw something. So basically you can draw charts. I'm not the expert on this one. But basically now you can go and analyze data in various ways, whether you want to use Excel, Tableau, or any other client which supports OData. So coming back to the slides, so basically this is what, this is like a very, very high level view. LightSwitch lets you connect to multiple data sources, whether they are OData or non-OData, or whether it is intrinsic data which you are creating locally. And what it does is that it converts every data source in the mid-tier to OData. So you can use the LightSwitch client, which is the default one, or you can use any OData clients to go and build interesting applications or analyze data in various ways. And in our case, like the way to get to the data is that you just take the name of that, take the root URI and put .svc, and then you hit the root data, the service document, and from there you can start drilling down. So the next one is the SharePoint. Let me just show you quickly. I think this has been out for a while, so I'm sure people have seen this one. Every SharePoint server, which is used a lot in the enterprise, is an OData server automatically by default. So what that means is that I have set up this this demo website on my on the SharePoint server, and on that one, if I do is that, and this works for every SharePoint installation you have, which is like you just go. Underscore VTI bin, and then list data, and hit that, and you will hit this the service document for this OData endpoint. And over here, you can go and literally get to every bit of data which is available on the SharePoint which you created. So let me open in a new tab, the one which I opened earlier. So for example, if I want to go to the tasks. The same way you can go to the tasks here, you can go and like now you can say tasks, and it will show you the same number of tasks over here. And similarly, like now it supports all the, of course, the queries. So let's say if you want to write this complicated query, which I just tried beforehand, which is like you have the priority value equal to high and status value not equal to is not completed, you can go and look at that thing, and it says like complete ticket demo or something like that. And similarly, if you go here and if you sort on the priority, there is one item which is in progress, which is complete ticket demo. So now what you can do is that if you don't like the SharePoint client which they ship with, or you don't like the support which they have for mobile applications, what you can do is that you can directly connect to SharePoint server and hit this OData endpoint and build any sort of application you like, because the entire data which is on the SharePoint is also available as OData. And like recently there was a blog post which I just put a pointer here, where someone, so Centure is a very interesting product. Basically they have this, Centure Touch is a platform for building mobile application in very, very fancy and rich UI. And what someone did was that they built a mobile application for a SharePoint client. And all they had to do was that they used this OData endpoint, which they call as the REST endpoint. And from there on, they were able to build the client which they like. Totally different UI, the way it interacts is very different. And similarly, because this OData endpoint supports both read and write, so you can just use that client to update the data or just read the data. So let's switch back to the slides. So this one, this is again a new thing which is coming out. This is my favorite, and although like I think the focus for this is very, very domain specific, this is for the IT pros which manage and maintains servers. But this is where like even I didn't realize like you can use OData in a very, very different way and how it can help people. So this, let me define the problem space. So basically, wrong machine, okay. So web shell is a way where you can define commandlets and how you can go and manage your servers. And what they did was that in order to reach to a broader audience and enable people to build clients, what they did was that they exposed that data as OData. So now once you have set up the commandlets on your server, you can choose to expose that as OData. And with that one, earlier they had only one option, which was the PowerShell remoting protocol. And although with that one you can build clients on different platforms, but it doesn't have as strong of an ecosystem. So now what they have added in the new Windows server is that it lets you expose data as OData, and now you can connect it from any client you like. So let me show you the demo for this one. So for this, what I will do is that, so for this one, what I have done is that on my Redmond machine in Seattle, I set it up this service. So I through PowerShell, I defined this OData endpoint and exposed the data. And in this case, I have exposed only two, which is the process and the services which are running on my machine in my office over there. And now I can access it through OData. Of course, it is authenticated. Otherwise, you will be managing my machine as well. So let me put my credential here. So now this shows me the process and the services which are running on my machine in Redmond. And again, this is not only read-only. So this is read-write. So if I want to change, if I want to kill a process from here or change the service, stop a service, run a service, I can all do over OData, and it will go and change the machine the way it is running in my office. And let's try to do that. So on this one, what I will do is that, just to make sure I don't screw that machine, I will just go and change the name or something. So let's take this one, this service. I don't know what that service does, but let's copy this. And so now all I need is a client tool which can do a patch or post. So if I have a client which can do HTTP patch or put, the difference between patch and put is that in the put you give the whole payload of the data, even if you are changing one property. With the patch, the advantage is that you only give the name of the property which you want to change, and it just updates that property. So what I will do is that I will take this URI, and then I will do a patch from here. And let me open a command shell. So this is a standard command shell. What I have done over here is that I have downloaded Curl, I'm sure many of you are familiar with Curl. It's not a Microsoft thing. It's like it's just a client which lets you issue HTTP commands. So, for example, like if I just say if I say curl like bing.com, it will connect to that server and bring me the HTML page, which will not make any sense. But you can look at like curl, and then you can say help, and it will give you all the way you issue a command from this one. So what I will do is that I will say curl, and let me see if I can type it right. So I will say the user is Redmond and Asad K, and then I will say the operation, the HTTP verb which I want to use, and that is patch. And then I will say what is the data which I want to send over the wire. So in this case, we said we will change the display name. So I will say display name, and let's say we say Asad was here. And then I close this one. And this one, this is a string. And then all I have to give is that what is the content type. So I will say the content type is which I'm sending, in this case it is JSON. So I say it is application JSON, and then you can ignore this for a moment. I will explain you later why I'm saying this, OData verbose. And then I give you just put the URI which I copy pasted, this one. So at this point, what it will do is that it will say this is the user. So it will ask me for my password on the command line. I will say this that the operation I'm doing is a patch. And then the data which I'm sending is a display name and the property which I want to change. And then the content type is application JSON. And then this is the URI. And actually, before I run this, what I have done is that I have connected to my corpnet through my card, which is broken. So I will actually terminal server into my machine, so you can see the change happening over there. So again, this is the new on this machine. I'm running the new version of Windows Server 2012, and let me open the Task Manager. The best way to see. And I guess this is this ALG thing is the one, and this should get updated to something like Asad was here. So let me minimize this and hit enter. Give my password and go back. Sometimes it doesn't refresh, so you close it, you open it again, you go to services, and this is Asad was here. So from this shows how you can through this this OData service, you can manage your entire servers, and it is all running, sending the commands over HTTP. You can use any client you like, and it is authenticated, and you can it lets you build interesting clients, which will let you manage your machines. Okay, so let me close this part. Okay, so the next one is that this one is again, you guys might be familiar about how OData is being used in this one. So if you have not tried, like go to http://datamarket.azure.com. What they have done is that if you are interested in sharing your data with the rest of the world, you can choose to create your own endpoint and expose the data. But the two problems is that it is not easily discoverable unless you are a Facebook or Twitter. But if you're not Facebook or Twitter, it is very hard for someone to go and like how will they search that you have this endpoint. The second thing is that if you are really data is your business, it is hard for you to tell how you will charge money. And like you have to build some sort of e-commerce where they hit and like you will say this is how it is. I'm charging you the money for per row or per byte or however. So what Azure Marketplace has done is that it's like one stop point where people can come and the publishers can publish their data, and the consumers can go and search for any data set and then consume from there. And of course, like, you can put any sort of pricing over there. They have the full infrastructure for that one. And the interesting thing is that there are three ways you can publish your data. Either you can say this is the data and you go and upload your data, or you can say, nope, I don't want to go and upload the data because I don't trust the cloud services and especially Azure. So what you can do is that you can give a connection to your data, and then at real time this becomes just a relay service, and it lets people search the data and put the pricing, but the data will always be coming from your data store. Or the third is that you can publish your application over there, so the face will be your app rather than just this raw data endpoint. And every bit of data which is in the Azure marketplace, and there are already like lots of data available, you can browse through it, is all available through OData. So now what it means is that any service, any data which is published over data can be consumed through OData in multiple clients and the way which I showed you already through Excel or any other way. And because it has some authentication ways, so they have actually built it really, really easy. If I can quickly show where, you can go to your Excel, and they also have an add-in which takes care of the authentication and makes it really simple and let you browse. So if you go to the data, you can download this, so which it will automatically sign me in. And I have only you can subscribe to any number of data sources. I have only subscribed to 4, so it will only show 4. But like this is directly now pulling the data from the data market. So now if you put your data over in data market, it will be, you can go and browse it from Excel, or you can go and browse directly from their website. And that's a very, very powerful way how you can go and share your data with the rest of the world. Okay, so let me go back. So this was some of the products which are within Microsoft which are using OData. And of course there are a lot of companies out there which are using OData, and it is hard to keep track of, because like if someone is using, it's just a standard of how you exchange data. And if someone is adding that capability, like of course we don't know that they support OData or they expose their data as OData. The only way we figure out is that they hit a problem, or like if you search on the web and we figure out that this data is now available. So this is a slide deck which I quickly put together. The interesting thing is that, like, for example, now if you go to certain websites, they have started putting this icon on the top, and if you can read it, like, it says, like, for developers, this is the best way to get data for this website if you want to directly go and access it. And this is the OData icon which people are putting, and if you hit that icon, it will take you to the root of that OData endpoint. And from there on, if you can go and choose to browse that data in a very different way and just use OData query conventions to go and query that data. The other interesting work which is happening is that this CMS, the content management system, which people use to build their websites, they are integrating OData support. And so, for example, Agility or Drupal, like now they have the OData support. What that means is that they are the consumers. So if you are building a website and you want to go and get the data from another OData endpoint or mash it up or do something, you can do that. And some of them, like WebNodes, they have done both ways. So basically, if you are building a website using WebNode, you can connect to an OData endpoint and get the data, or any website which you build through WebNode automatically expose the entire data set as OData. And that way, like, people who are consuming or hitting your website can choose to go to that data endpoint, OData endpoint, and browse through that one. Then there are other companies, like, for example, this one, what they have done is that they have put their entire data in Azure Data Market. And once you put your data in Azure Data Market, irrespective of how the data is stored at the back end, Azure automatically converts everything into OData. So now all of their data is available as OData, and now they have built interesting client applications which run on the tablet or on the browser, and they connect to Azure Data Market and consume the data as OData. So this is just a screenshot from the, if you go to odata.org under libraries, these are all the libraries which are available, which is like if you want to build a client app if you want to build a client app, you can use any of these libraries, whether it is for iOS or Android or Windows Phone. And similarly, there is a strong support in Visual Studio. So if you go to Visual Studio, you say add service reference, you can add any OData endpoint, and it lets you build that. So I'm going a little fast. I have a couple of more demos which I have to finish, and I'm realizing I was behind the schedule. So one announcement. So from the very start, the way OData was designed was that it was designed with the community participation. And what that means was that every feature which was developed or every design which was made part of the OData was first discussed with the community, and people interacted it through their public email list or through blogs or through websites, through forums. And so we had a very, very strong community participation. But now that OData is used so widely and it had a lot of success, it's not good to give one entity, no matter how that nice that entity is, to give one entity the pen to go and make any change in that protocol, especially if so many people have taken the dependency on that. So what we have done is that in collaboration with IBM, with SAP, with Citrix, and many other companies, last month we submitted OData to OSS for standardization. So that way there is no one company which has the final authority to go and design or like change anything. So now it is more of a collaborative effort between different companies. And since we announced it on the on our blog, the coverage has been, we are very, very excited about the coverage, which is very, very positive. And no matter whether you're looking at the technical blog post or the company announcements or CIO journal, which talks about and give advice to the CIOs, the overall coverage has been very positive, which people really liked this step where OData is now on a path to become a standard, and it's now a very, very collaborative effort between all the companies. So with that, I invite Brent. Brent Gross is from IBM. He will do a quick demo, and he will talk about some of the collaboration which is going on between Microsoft and IBM.
Okay, thanks Asad. I want to switch over to... He's not done. He gets to come back later for the final act. Before. Okay. So even though I'm going to be a rebel here and not just talk about our IBM data servers, I'm also just going to use Visual Studio 2010. So probably the first demo, the only demo you'll see at TechEd that doesn't use 2012. As Asad mentioned, I'm from IBM. My responsibility is our client drivers. So I'm going to focus on the publisher of OData. So I'm going to use our client drivers, and I'm going to show how we can create an OData endpoint using DB2. I'm connected just using my laptop here, so it'll all be local. This could have been DB2 on a mainframe, or DB2 on the IBM I platform, or Informix as well. So any of those data servers are supported. So just using Visual Studio, I'm just going to start a new project. In this case, it's going to be a website. I'm going to pick a dynamic data entities website in order to expose my WCF data service. Okay for that one. Not responding. My machine was almost asleep up here. Give it a couple seconds. I do have a couple of bookmarks that I've saved in order to use this. So one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to change the property in here for the port number to false and use a fixed port so that my bookmarks will continue to work. Again, I need to go in and out of my project in order to get the properties to, so I can edit the port number here. 4024. Sorry about that. Okay, so the first item I want to add to my project is I'm going to add a entity data model. So the way that we have our extensibility underneath OData and WCF data services is via the entity framework. So I'm going to add a entity data model to my project, right? adding a special file, so it's going to put it in the application code site. You can see on the left-hand side here, I've actually created a data connection using the sample database installed locally. So I'm just going to generate the model from that database. And so I'll just let it pick that same connection here rather than going through the trouble of setting up a new connection. I'm just going to pick all the defaults for the name of the model and also the entity set. So it's just going to be called sample entities here. And I'll just pick a couple of tables from that, two tables with a relationship, so that when we do the OData navigation, we can actually navigate across that relationship between the two tables. So department employee tables. Sorry, it's not AdventureWorks, another difference from the normal set of demos here. Okay, let's let it go out and pull in all that metadata from the database. Slowly building here. Okay, this is your standard entity model, so my employees and departments and the 0-to-1 relationship that's in place right there. So now that I've got my entity created, I can go back into my main class and create a reference to that inside here. So I'm going to register the context for that, so I'll uncomment this code that was so nicely put in here, and I'll add my context type here. And thank goodness for type ahead. Sample model central entities, and I'll instruct it to scaffold all my tables by default. Okay. Save that. So now I have the entity. That's all set up. I can now go in and add the WCF data service, which is actually going to expose the OData endpoint. So I'll add that as a new item as well. WCF data service. All right. And it's also got a nice to-do that shows up in here that says Brent type here. So that makes it nice and easy for me. Sample model. Sample entities, all right, and I'm going to set the access rule to allow the entities read only, so we'll be able to see them by default, all the entities here. Okay, there. So I'm pretty much done with all of the work I have to do. I'll run this website right now. So I will also deviate from standard practice. I have Firefox as the browser here just to give everybody as much FaceTime as possible. So when this comes up, we'll see it pop up inside Firefox here. And it's just coming up on my website. It's not yet hitting the OData endpoint. It's just coming up on the website itself. So we'll let this guy connect. I'm sorry, I think while Assad was talking, my laptop went halfway to sleep, so everything is slowly being paged in. All right, and then I'll add in the OData endpoint. I just picked the default one. Whoops, I got caps lock there. Okay, so bring in the OData, and now you see the thing that we're used to seeing for all the OData, right? The description, just the departments and employees table that shows up there. I've installed an extension inside Firefox, Bamboo, just so you can view it a little bit easier. So I'll go in there and refresh that just to show it's live. Right? It's just basically going to pull down all the OData stuff as an RSS feed. So I can see the departments as well as the employees and just refresh those as well, and it's pulling all of those out. Right? One more thing we can do, I'll give one more browser some FaceTime here and start up Chrome. Right? With that, I have a couple bookmarks here. One is just listing all of the employees. So just the same sort of syntax that Assad was showing earlier, where we have the employees just showing up right there. And it's just the entire list of them. I've also got another one that's just doing a query for a individual employee. Right, so the top here, just employee number 10, pulling out just that employee's information. And then finally, the last one is I've just got a navigation from that employee 10, then following the department relationship that that has. So again, very simple navigation that's done, just all the standard stuff from OData that you've seen across all of the other demos so far. Slides are on 2? 8? 8? Okay, thanks. Okay. This guy? Oh, there, okay. It's hard to see up here. Okay, oh, that's me. And we've done the demo. All right. So all of that was, again, I was using Visual Studio 2010, so that's all stuff that's been around for a while. What we're really interested in is extensibility. We've got some customers that are talking to us, and they're saying they want to see some of the unique features that we have inside our data servers being able to show through their own OData endpoints. Right? They want to add some new functions, right? As well as adding data types. So as an example of adding new functions, we've got a feature inside our latest release of DB2 called Temporal. And as an example, you can think of an insurance company where I'm submitting a claim to my insurance company for a very unfortunate accident that I had. But at the same time, there's been policy changes going on. My wife is changing different birthdays that affect your deductibles and rates and stuff like that. So a lot of times for these type of things, business needs to know in the concept of time, right? What is my deductible at a certain period of time? So the temporal support that we've got inside DB2 allows the database to maintain that information for you. It keeps track of all those changes so that you can then ask the database. You basically think of it as adding as of to the end of all your SQL queries, right? So what was my deductible as of the date of my accident, not my current one or my one from before, right? So that's some support that's inside the database, and we want to be able to, you know, the same way I queried the employee table with the employee number, we want to be able to add that as of feature into the OData feeds, right? So how can we do that? How can we, you know, do a dot as of or a dollar sign as of? How can we add that into the query string or the URL for OData and make it so that we don't have to write a lot of code in order to expose that? Right? So this is something that we're working together with Microsoft in determining how can we add that extensibility, where we don't have to have Microsoft change WCF data services in order to do that, and at the same time, we don't have to write a whole new OData provider than the complete stack. Right? So we want to be able to use functions or annotations inside the entity framework and figure out how we can get this picked up from the other layers. At the same time, we also want to be able to add our own data types. XML is an obvious one because people can relate to that. DB2 has a higher precision decimal type, a decimal float type, that we want to be able to, that customers are asking us to be able to get at. In addition, we also have a higher precision timestamp where we can go up to 12 digits of precision and include some time zone information. Now we could, you know, have all those come back as strings, but that's very inefficient if we're going back and forth in and out of strings inside decimal types. So we want to be able to work together and decide how can we extend the types inside OData, again, without having to have all parties write a layer in between. And this is why the collaboration, right, with all these different companies contributing to OData really makes a lot of sense, because each company will have their own set of use cases. I'm sure SAP, who's part of this as well, has got a bunch of different use cases that they want to have inside OData and figure out how that can be extended as well. So that's really what we're trying to do, is work together with all the other companies and provide those extensibility points, and then work on our drivers and tooling or whatever in order to make those easily consumable as all the other stuff that's built in. Right? So with that, I'll turn it back to Asad, and my 15 minutes or 10 seconds or whatever fame is all over here. Okay, thanks.
Okay, so I have two more topics quickly to cover. Let's see how far we can get. So the first one is that now that you have heard about all these different products and different companies who are using OData, like if you have a data set, if you want to publish, be the publisher and publish it as OData, what are the options? And sometimes, like we hear a lot about like WCF data services and what is this relationship to OData. So WCF data services is, think of it as an implementation of OData, that it lets you publish your data as OData very, very easily. Like in that case, the amount of code which you have to write is very, very minimal. And so if you have a backend which is like, which supports relational queries, and then you can also use Entity Framework for that as a provider to connect to that database. This solution works perfect for many people and many products out there. They are using WCF data services as is, and they are able to publish their data as OData. But there are other cases where it is hard for to use WCF data services. And I'm very excited to announce that we are working with the ASP.NET Web API team to add support, the OData support in Web API. In the existing version, there is some support, but we are doing a major design work and implementation where it will be really, really easy for you to go and expose your data using Web API, and it will be exposed as OData. And in some cases it makes it makes sense to use Web API. In some cases it makes sense to use WCF data services. But both are equally good. Both will be available. WCF data services have already many version out there. Web API, this support will be coming very soon. I have one demo which I will get to quickly. So the other one people use is that if none of them work, then you can use a customized solution, and then you can use WCF data services and use a reflection provider. In that case, you have to still implement iQueryable, but it lets it does a lot of stuff for you. The third one, which is like if you want to be fully customized, then you can use WCF data services, but in that case, you go and implement all the interfaces like iQueryable, iUpdatable, iPaging, and two more. One is for actions. So that way, like if none of those other options work for you, then this is a fully customized way where you can go and expose your data. The last one is that what we have done is that within the WCF data services right now is a black box. It's a product which says like either it works for you or not. What we have done is that we have started to take some pieces of it apart and then shipping it as on CodePlex as open source where people can go and use them where it makes sense. And this is just the first example. So what OData library, which is available today on CodePlex, it does is that if none of the other options work for you and still you want to use OData, it doesn't make sense where you go at the wire level and start to serialize and write a deserializer for OData. So what OData library will give you is that it gives you that capability where it can serialize the data. Once you have in a certain format, it can deserialize it and give you the classes back, and it understands the metadata. So from there on, like you are on your own, but at least like you don't have to go at that level if none of the other options are working for you. So I will quickly do a Web API demo. Let me switch the. So for this one, I will move a little quickly because I have one more topic, which is about the new features which are coming out, or they are actually already out. So I will quickly open Visual Studio. And in this for this demo, just to save time, what I will do is that I will use snippets of code. So I will inject the snippets so that I don't waste time in writing the whole code, and then I will explain what I do. So you do a new project, and you can choose any, like let's say console app. And the first thing I will do is that I will add references. So this is the demo which I am doing for the Web API. And again, this is not available right now. I'm taking the latest build out of the developer machine and just showing you. So the DLLs I have locally, I add the reference to those DLLs. Let's say browse, and it is somewhere here. Yep, Web API DLLs. I say Control A. And I include these references. So now I'm referencing to a Web API build which has the OData support in there. Once this finishes, yep, Okay, so now, as I said, we are running out of time, so I will use the snippets. So the first is like I will do the using one, so I don't even have to type the using. So I'm using a bunch of the web API stuff and the EDM, which is the underlying data model, and some OData stuff over here. So now the two places where web API really, really shines is that if you are heavy on the business logic, and the second place is that if you don't want to go and implement the entire IQ variable, like you don't care that someone can do customers and like filter where this is greater than this and this is less than this. If you don't want to go and support the entire IAC variable, Web API is really, really easy because it gets you started really, really quickly. Because the way it works is that it has two things. One is the formatters. So Web API will ship with the OData formatters, which means that it will let you serialize and deserialize data as OData. The second thing, the way it works is that you define your object model and then you define a controller. So if you say I have a tweets controller, so which takes care of the tweets. So if someone hits the URI, and in the URI it says it uses the OData convention and say tweets and give you the query parameter, Web API will give you the control at that point and it will call your function. And then from there on you can do whatever. Like if you want to use Entity Framework, you can use Entity Framework. If you want to use a direct connection to another database and send the result, it's up to you. Basically, Web API gave you the control that someone asked for customers or someone asked for products or someone asked for tweets. Like you give me that information and then you can give that. And similarly, you can have overloads where there's a controller which doesn't take an argument, so if someone calls it without an argument or one which takes an argument, and so you can provide as many overloads as you want, and then if Web API will do the right thing, which it will call the right controller at the right time. So what I will do is that to make it really interesting, what I will do is that I will expose on data as OData on something which doesn't support OData at all. So let's take the example of Twitter. So let's say if I want to build a service which let you access Twitter feeds as OData, and through this one, like literally I can do it in like 20-25 line of code. The one thing which I will do is that first I will define the object model for that for the Twitter. So I will only pick a very, very simple one, and like I'm using the API. I will use the API which they have given on the Twitter website. So again, use the power of the snippets. What I will say is like I will say define the object model for the tweets. So I only will care about the four fields, which is like ID, the text which people have tweeted, who created it, and when it was created. So then I will add one more thing. So this is the boilerplate sort of code which is required for most of the web APIs. So I will say add this one. And so this added some code. What it does is that basically it defines that how do you get to the metadata, and it is a little wrong, so let me fix that part. So it says where you get the dollar metadata. And then this defines like how you can define the formats. So let's say for now I'm only defining the format for dollar format, which you can give on the URI, and it only supports Atom at this point. And now I have to define the OData object model, because when you hit dollar metadata, OData returns you the full object model. So that I can define it over here. So I will say the EDM. So basically, this defined the object model for my tweets. Basically, all it is doing is that it is saying create an entity set for tweets and then add these relationship for that one. So this is like, if people are familiar with Entity Framework code first, it is very, very similar or almost the same way how you go and define that one. And the last thing which I want to do is this: define the controller. So the controller is the one where the call will go once you hit that URI. So So this is the class. Actually, I put it in the wrong place. So this is the TweetsController class, and this is where the control will come. And at that point, I can choose how I return and get the data. And in this case, literally, I'm doing a HTTP request, and I'm calling this search API. So if you go to the Twitter developer page, this is how you get to the tweets. So what I do is that I'm using Web API. So Web API will use the OData formatter, and then it will use one controller. So I will go and hit that OData URI. It will give the control to this controller. Controller can choose to get the data from anywhere. I could create an object model right there and return that object, dictionary or anything like, or list. But in this case, I'm making another call, another web service call to the Twitter. The data is not coming as OData, but then Web API converts that through the formatter into OData. So let's see if I put everything in the right place and if it just compiles. Okay, so this is the root URI in this case. Okay, it's running. Let's see if I can able to hit it. So at this point, I can say tweets and then query, and let's say I want to find all the tweets which are for OData. So here you go. So basically, at this point, you are reading live against all the tweets which are coming from the Twitter API and now available as OData. So like literally with those 25, 30 lines of code, you have a web service which exposes all the Twitter feeds as OData. And now you can, and it is as easy, like you can go back here. Let's stop this service. You can go here. And you can say, oh, I don't want Atom, I want JSON. So you can say Control C. You add another formatter. So you say this time, if someone says JSON, set the header as JSON and then send the request. And then you say Control Save. Run it again. And now go back to our website. And you go, oops. So you say tweets, OData, and the dollar format is JSON, and hopefully now the result should come back as JSON. It takes a while because it makes a connection. So as I say, it doesn't directly shows the JSON, so you have to open the file in Notepad. And these are all the tweets which are like live tweets, which are being returned from Twitter. But now all of that data is available as OData. I can go and write any client which I like. I can go and open it in Excel or any other client which supports OData. So basically, this is how easy Web API makes it to go and expose any data as OData. So I can quick go back. I have 1 minute, so I will not cover. I will skip a bunch of slides. Basically, this is some of the new features we can cover some other time, or you can go and read our blogs. The two interesting one was that we have done a lot of work in the performance, and we have a new JSON Lite format. So this is a comparison of like. So one of the feedback from the earlier version of OData was that the JSON serialization format is very verbose because it sends a lot of information in terms of the links and the metadata and all that information. So what we have done is that we have a new serialization format for JSON, and like even if you go all the way to the binary, the light blue bar is how good you can be. The x-axis shows you the number of entries, and the y-axis shows you the size. So the best you can do is like bin pack and like send the data as binary, and that's when you get the light blue. Of course, you lose the whole restfulness and like the way you can read the data. So the best, the second best you can do is the purple line, which is like you come up with a very, very weird way of serializing in JSON. Like even the property names are P underscore or something. But what we have now is the light green one. And just this was the existing JSON format. And so this is like, this is the existing one on the left side. The right one is the new JSON light. As you can see, it doesn't have any extra information about OData or anything like that. It has only one link on the top, which can you can go, if the client cares about, they can go and get the additional metadata from there and make more sense for the data which follows. If you don't care, you can ignore that thing, and it is as pure JSON as it could be. This JSON format, you can go and read it by any dollar dot get JSON or any JSON reader which supports can go and read this one because it doesn't have any OData flavor in it other than that one link which you can care. If you care, you can use it. If you don't care, you can ignore it. So I will skip this one. So the other support is about the geospatial types which we have added, which lets you do very, very interesting stuff which you are if you are building mobile applications which takes care of your location and other stuff. So this is some of the resources. We ran a little over time. You can go to the OData website. The one which is in the bold is the new OData spec. I encourage everyone to, if they are interested, go and read that one. There's also a link through the OData site, but this is just a direct URI you can hit. This WCF Data Services blog, where a lot of discussion happens. Developer Center tells you how you can play around more with OData. This is my contact. If you have any question, feel free to shoot me an email. Find me after this session as you like. And thanks, everyone, for coming. And don't forget the evaluations.